Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and before we get to today's action-packed show, I want to go back to something we did recently on Soundcheck. We do this occasional series called That Was a Hit. It's all about the strange and surprising songs that occasionally creep into the pop charts. And writer Chris Malanfi suggested that the whole career of trumpeter Herb Alpert was one big surprise, which is true. I mean, who'd expect a Jewish boy playing Latin-themed music on a trumpet to top the charts more times than any other band in the 60s, except the Beatles? And then he makes an unexpected return to the charts with Rise at the height of the disco era. So Chris told us that story, but our listener Ron from Detroit says we didn't tell the whole story.
Now, I was a little disappointed that the Herb Alpert story didn't follow through with other connections that song had made, especially the one with Rise, because there's a part in there where it drops out, where it just has a bass drop and a beat. And that was actually used in a Biggie Smalls tune. So I think a lot of younger people would recognize that. Maybe if they don't know the artist, and maybe some would, but there was still some connection to hip-hop that could have been made. And I'm wondering, too, is it Herb Alpert, A-L-P-E-R-T, or Herb Alpert? Because my parents, just like you said, had one of those albums, and I thought it was always Herb Alpert. But otherwise, great show, love the stories, keep doing what you're doing, but I just had to throw that in there because I recognize that that has a place in hip-hop history as well. Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
All right, Ron, thanks for the call. And Herb Alpert's name is spelled with a P, so it should be Alpert, right? Though, I gotta say that when I was a kid, everyone said Herb Albert, as if it were a B. So we called his office just to be sure, and they confirmed it should properly be pronounced Alpert, which didn't stop us from mushing our consonants together. Okay, old business done. New business? Well, we've got the prolific garage rocker Ty Siegel joining us with a new album that has a surprisingly different sound. His band will play live. We've got a question from a listener who wants to know, where have all the virtuoso keyboard players gone? We'll try to come up with some answers. And we'll begin today with another in our occasional series, Pick Three.
Three, that's a magic number.
Three.
It's the magic number.
Picking three songs for us today is comedian Kurt Brownoler, whose debut album is also the first ever comedy record for the noted indie label Kill Rock Stars, home to bands like the Decemberists and Slater Kinney in the past, and now home to Kurt Brownoler. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
I mentioned the record label because you kind of like grew up on those bands label, right?
Yeah, that was the reason that I kind of had approached them in the first place. I think Kill Rock Stars retweeted a tweet that I had done maybe like a year ago, and we got in conversation, and I was like, you're one of my favorite labels, and I said, you want to do a comedy record? And they're like, we've been thinking about it, and like that day, we got on the phone, and we're like, let's do it.
You know, there has been, I know you lived in Brooklyn for a long time, and you probably have seen this, the communities of indie rock and comedy.
Yeah,
here have really come together. I mean, that Venn diagram has gotten really close together now.
Yeah, I mean, I just did my record release show in Brooklyn on Tuesday, and Ted Leo played.
Oh.
And so he's a good friend, and I love his music. And so, I think the kind of the confluence of music and comedy really started, you know, Steve Martin opened for Black Sabbath. You know?
With banjo, presumably.
Yeah, I don't even know if he was doing banjo then, but that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. So you picked three songs for us today, and the first of them actually is one of those Kill Rock Stars bands, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's Unwound. It's from, I believe it's from Repetition. It's called Corpse Pose. And this is one of my favorite Unwound songs, and I really, Unwound was kind of like one of my favorite bands coming up, and they're really the reason that I kind of fell in love with Kill Rock Stars and kind of just listened to everything they put out.
Mm-hmm. So this is, we're talking mid-90s here.
Yeah, mid-90s, kind of that Pacific Northwest, almost like, you know, post-punk, math-rocky kind of sound.
Okay, let's listen to a little bit. Corpse Pose is the title of the song from Unwound. From the mid-90s, the band Unwound with a song called Corpse Pose, picked for us by Kurt Braunohler, comedian, host of the podcast The K-Ole, and which you can find on Nerdist.com, and the co-creator and co-host of the variety show Hot Tub with Kristen Schaal, which used to be based here in New York, and now you're all out in L.A.
All out in L.A. L.A.'s claimed us.
Now, you talk about, like, growing up, hearing these bands and sort of, you know, getting into the sound. Did you, you know, as a teenager, pick up a guitar, or were you a musician?
I think I played every instrument.
You tried them all.
The piano, the saxophone, the guitar, and I'm just not good at playing music. But I think that that history with it kind of, I don't know, got me obsessed with music. And really, in college, that's all I wanted to do. That's the only thing I was interested in. I didn't start doing comedy until after college.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So did you play out? Did you try? Did you form school bands?
Yeah,
and stuff?
We had a band. We would play in the basement. We'd put on punk rock shows in the basement of our apartment in Baltimore.
What was the name of your band?
I think it was Como Safeway. But because of Safeway, so it was spelled Como Safeway. That was a bad band. I think I played drums.
That's a bad name.
It's a bad name, too. Oh, yeah. but we had, it was actually the whole thing, this was this organization we started called FUDC, which, because we hated DC and we loved Baltimore. And we started it because of an Unwound show. We were at an Unwound show, and I was dancing, and this guy was like, hey, man, you need to calm down. Because everybody, the DC scene, because of Ian MacKay, everybody stood with their arms crossed, you know?
Okay.
And
Ian MacKay from Minor Threat,
and
you know,
Fugazi.
The straight edge movement.
Yeah. And he just, you know, he had slam dancing. So DC was very uptight, and we kind of like celebrated Baltimore by having these shows in our basement and going crazy.
So you've moved around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn,
yeah, a little
Baltimore,
bit.
LA. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey, Asbury Park in Neptune,
okay,
right on the coast there.
And so now that you're on Kill Rock Stars, on this label with a lot of your musical heroes.
It still seems crazy to hear that said.
Yeah. The album's called How Do I Land?
Yes.
Can you tell us the story of that title?
Sure. I ran a Kickstarter. I wanted to skywrite like a dumb joke in the sky. And so we ran a Kickstarter and raised $6,000. And then we wrote In the Sky Over Los Angeles, How Do I Land? In clouds. We forced clouds to make a joke.
So when you say we, you weren't up in that plane with the skywriter,
No. I say we as the collective of everyone who donated money.
Okay.
Because we had kind of donations from all over the world.
You pay by the letter, right?
No, well, it's $4,000 to get 10 characters.
10 characters.
And if we could get $10,000, we could have gotten 5 planes that kind of like spell it out and kind
of like a digital binary looks like more. Yeah.
But we had the old school, like, loop-de-loop, takes a long time. The letters disappear pretty fast. I realized that it's the most inefficient way to tell a joke.
Did you have to pay for the question mark?
No, they gave it to me for free,
and that
was a point of contention.
The album's called How Do I Land, from Kurt Braunohler, who's my guest on Soundcheck. Let's hear a clip. This story is about one of the more humiliating moments in your life.
Oh, boy.
Where you meet Sacha Baron Cohen, Ali G, Borat, etc. Can you set this clip up for us?
Sure. I don't know exactly where it comes in, but basically I had an audition to be the assistant to Bruno in the Bruno movie. One of the requirements was that I could speak German, and I lied and I said I couldn't. I can't speak German at all.
And that's where we pick things up.
Sacha Baron Cohen, my comedy idol, looks at me and speaks to me in German, which to me sounds like a series of whistles and clicks. And I just look him dead in the eye, and I'm just like, Ein kleiner, wie heißen Swatten? Auf Orten Swatten? Wie heißen Wiedersehen? Auf Orten, the omelet. And then I make big old eye contact with a big eating smile to everybody in the room. Now I know nobody else in the room speaks German, so they don't know what just happened, but Sasha looks at me like a dog who just heard a whistle. He's confused, as he should be. Because from his perspective, a man just came in for the biggest job interview of his life, and when asked, tell me about your experience, that man went, blah, 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 and then smiled like a crazy person at everyone in the room.
That is Kurt Braunohler. The record is called How Do I Land? Braunohler, that's a good German name. You must know. So you knew enough German to kind of fake the German there.
I took German when I was 12 for a year, and I was just in love with my teacher. And all I would do is just stare at her all the whole class. And after a year, my mom was like, so what have you learned? And I was like, was ist das? She's like, that's it? What is that? That's all you've learned? She's like, I'm taking you out of this class.
Do you do a lot of improv?
I came up improvising. So I started improvising in 1998. And then I think I just was planning on making a living from improvising. So for 8 years, I tried to do that, and I realized I couldn't. And that's when I met Kristen, and we started doing Hot Tub and writing together.
Right.
And then shortly after that, I really started writing my own stand-up, which was probably about 5 or 6 years ago.
But the improv, that experience stands you in good stead when Sacha Baron Cohen talks to you in German and you have to come up with something.
Sure, yeah. It gets me in hot water.
But so basically, obviously the work with Kristen Schaal, the two of you are writing. Mm-hmm. When you're writing your own stand-up routine,
yeah.
How much leeway do you have? Is it like jazz where the same tune will sound different every night?
It is. When I'm writing it, it's very much a writing process. I'll write out a lot more than I'll actually use, and then I'll kind of bullet point it out, and then I'll perform it on stage. And so when I'm performing it for the first or second time, it's still very improv-y, but I know what I want to say, and I have a very... the rhythm has to be the right and the meter has to be correct. And so those are very specific things. And then after you've done it, a few times, it starts to lock in.
Yeah.
And then you definitely have, it's a script, but it sounds like it's not.
What you're talking about sounds like songwriting.
Yeah.
You're talking about meter and rhythm and pacing.
I think the two are very similar.
So this becomes especially important when you are working to time. For example, if you appear on a late-night TV show.
Yes.
Which you recently did on Conan. Now, do you aspire to be a late-night TV host yourself?
I do. I ran a late-night talk show in New York for a few years called Night of the Living. And haven't run it in L.A. yet. We're trying to kind of get all the pieces together. But, yeah, that is something I'm moving towards. And especially with my podcast, kind of like setting up systems that I can kind of expand upon for a visual medium as well.
Do you have any particular show in your crosshairs? Should Conan or Jimmy Fallon, should they feel the little red dot on the back of their neck?
Yeah, I'm going to come after Conan because I can just go right into his entire wardrobe. We're the same size.
What kind of music would you have on a show should you have your own late-night band to choose?
I think I would have sort of there's a group called Adira Amram and The Experience. She's a comedian who also plays keyboard and sings. That she would be my go-to group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for the moment, this is Kurt Braunohler on someone else's late night TV show. This is on Conan.
I recently just moved to LA, and so I've been driving a lot, listening to LA radio. And I did not know that 90% of LA radio is just Sublime. I had no idea. But I like it. I found that I have a favorite Sublime song. It's the song where the Sublime guy goes, I can play a guitar like a mother effing riot. And then just slowly plink plonks on an acoustic guitar. Just plink plonk, plink, plonk, plink, plonk. I was like, that is a riot. If your definition of a riot is just one lone seagull trying to get a sandwich out from inside a baby grand piano. Plink, plonk, plink, plonk, plink, plink, plonk, plonk, plonk.
That is Sublime's What I Got. Kurt Braunohler on Conan's late night TV show. So you've moved to L.A. Are you finding the music scene there to your liking?
It is. You know, it's so having been in New York for so long and just knowing people and being able to go to shows, you know, it is like it's a little like, oh, no, I don't know anybody. I don't know anything. So I have been like on Monday nights. It's kind of tough, too, because Monday nights is kind of there. Where all the places in Echo Park and Silver Lake have kind of residencies, and all the music's free, and everybody kind of goes from place to place. But that's when I have my show, so I don't really get to go see much music.
When you say my show, do you mean Hot Tub?
Yes, Hot mm-hmm. Tub.
So Kristen Schaal's out there now, too,
mm-hmm.
in L.A.
Yep.
Is the show different because it's on a different coast?
It's not really that different because, you know, it's in Silver Lake, and so that's essentially the Park Slope of Los Angeles, you know? And so it's kind of the same types of audiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New York, I think people are a little more, like I found this when I did my show with Ted Leo, is that they'll stick around for music at the end in
right.
New York more than they will in L.A. In L.A., a lot of people just get up and kind of, like, leave while the band's playing at the end, which always frustrates me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Kurt Braunohler, nonetheless, living out in L.A., the comedian, host of the podcast The K-Ole, and with Kristen Schaal, co-host of the variety show Hot Tub. Let's get back to your pick three, River City Extension. Where is this song from, this band?
This band, I had to put them on because they're from Asbury Park, local Asbury Park band.
Okay.
They're amazing. They do a show every Thanksgiving at the Stone Pony that I've never been to a rock and roll show that felt more like everybody was in a family together. And it's the best feeling I've ever had. I try and go back every year just to go to that show.
So this is the home team for
this
you.
This is the home team.
All right. The song's called Our New Intelligence from the band River City Extension.
Stolen Aphrodite, beautiful and mighty. Act like you could find me tucked beneath the vine leaf. Try to keep my head down, try to keep my mouth shut. Of my loneliness. Never let you in, I'll never let you find me. But you're what you do have, put your past behind me. I am not afraid and will not buckle under ignorance. You can find a purpose while I fumble for deliverance. Happy but I wouldn't put it past a new intelligence.
Our New Intelligence, a song from the New Jersey band River City Extension, picked for us by Jersey boy Kurt Braunohler, the comedian and writer with us on Soundcheck today with his pick three. And boy, it sounds like somebody was listening to the Tijuana Brass at some point
yeah.
there with that band. I was asking you before whether L.A. had changed Hot Tub, the show you do with Kristen Schaal. Has L.A. changed your writing process, you know, the way you're... the things you're looking at to include in the routines?
You know, it is. It's almost, in a way, this might sound strange, but it's more American now. Because I really do feel like the things I don't like about Los Angeles are simply that it's not New York. And I do feel like New York is almost not America.
Yeah.
We don't drive in cars. We don't live in houses. But in Los Angeles, it's very much a suburban city. And it is kind of America. So I do things now that I think the majority of Americans do. I'm in traffic. I'm listening to the radio. I'm in a car. I'm seeing billboards. I'm watching TV. Whereas in New York, you lead this other, like I would write about like, you know, subway grates and like things I would see on the subway or, you know, stuff like that, which is like, it's not everyone's experience. And so I do feel I'm now having more of an American experience.
Yeah, but you know, that was always the amazing thing about the Seinfeld show.
Yes.
Was that
So specific.
So specifically
universal.
New York. You know, I did a show, a broadcast once with the ABC, the Australian Broadcast Corporation. Yeah. They sent one of their crews over, and they were all huge Seinfeld fans. I was like, really?
Oh, yeah.
Down under? It's like, the bit about the parking space and everything. They got all of it.
Yeah.
Somehow.
It is kind of amazing.
Yeah. All right, one more pick. Cloud Nothings. This is a band with a couple of records to their credit. Their last one was a favorite of yours, right?
Yes. Actually, last one and the one previously as well. This band is just, they do have, like I do, I'm a child of the 90s, and so I'm obsessed with that kind of like mid-90s sound, and they do have that kind of mid-90s kind of college rock sound. And their earlier records were much more higher end, more tinny and aggressive, and now the most recent album is like dark and it's heavy. It's much heavier than their stuff before, but also still in a very mid-90s vein, which I find fantastic. And I saw these guys at South by Southwest with my friend Chris, and it was it was an amazing show, just the whole place going crazy.
So do you do the festival circuits occasionally?
I play a lot of music festivals, yeah. I think I've played the majority of the big ones in the United States.
Good way to keep up with what the kids are doing.
I really like seeing music, and so it's kind of great. I get to do my set and then go and see music. It's the best.
All right. Well, Kurt Brownoler has his own record out. It's called How Do I Land? And it is out now. You can also find his podcast, The K-Ole, on Nerdist.com. And he's picked three songs for us today in our occasional Pick Three series on Soundcheck. And this is the third of them. It's called Been Through by the band Cloud Nothings. And Kurt, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The band's called Cloud Nothings. The song is called Been Through. Coming up next, we pose a question from one of our listeners to the editor-in-chief of Keyboard Magazine. Specifically, who are the virtuosic, groundbreaking keyboard players of today? And then later, a visit from Ty Siegel, originally from the Bay Area. Now he's based in L.A. as well. He's a garage rocker, but his band will play some songs with a different sound from his latest record called Sleeper. That's coming up later on Soundcheck.